So good to be together. And man, it's so great to be back. For those of you that don't know, I was on a 12-month mini sabbatical. Eric took his this summer, and it was just such a refreshing time of replenishment and refreshing, and in deep study as well, as I have mentioned, on the topic of women in Scripture, which I'm so excited to share with the ladies of the church. But coming back, full of strength and fresh vision and expectancy for what the Lord has for us as we go into this season of strengthening the stakes here at Alive, and excited to close out this last week of Heart for His House. How many people are encouraged by this series, enjoying this series? I know I am. It's been really great. Eric's been doing a great job. But I want to open up by asking a question this morning, simple question of what is the greatest way that we can influence the world for Christ? We just take a moment and pause and ask ourselves, what's the greatest way that each of us individually can impact or influence the world for Christ? We know that right before Jesus ascended to the Father, he entrusted us with the Great Commission. We see that in Matthew 28, 16 through 20. Jesus said some of his last words on earth, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." These are some of Jesus' final words to us as we ponder what's our greatest impact that we can make for Christ. I'm sure it would connect to some of these words. And sometimes you might think, oh, these are words and this is a commission just for people that have been believers for a long time. That's just for the pastors. It's just for the super Christians. But that's not true. This great commission is for all of us, whether we've known Jesus personally for 2 seconds, 2 days, 2 decades. We're all entrusted to share the love of Jesus that we've experienced with those in our life. But how do we do that practically and impactfully? How do we make an impact for Christ? We're going to talk about that all morning. But I first want to just acknowledge on the front end that we live in a world where influence is often defined by what's happening online. You know, we live in person, but we also live online with our screens. Before we take a look at what the scripture says about how to make an influence for Christ, I think it's just good for us to acknowledge that the impact of social media, the impact of online influence, the online community has impacted, I think, all of us in the way that we look at influence and impact. We're talking about how can we influence the world for Christ? How can we have an impact for Christ? With a little play on words, the title of this morning's message is Christian Influencers. Pastor Eric kind of hinted at that last week if you were here. But yeah, we all want to influence others for Christ, right? And God can use technology to spread the gospel in some really incredible ways. Some of us have been deeply impacted by some really solid Christian voices that maybe we listen to through podcasts or YouTubes or social media accounts. And maybe some of us also are a little skeptical of people who use a platform for the gospel. Maybe it feels a little inauthentic, or maybe you're weary of celebrity Christian culture that can be promoted through online things. For those of you who may not be familiar, a Christian influencer is simply someone who uses their online platform, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, podcast, to share faith content. And if their audience gets large enough, they can even monetize their message and make a career out of it. Online influence really is a tool. It's a gift of this generation. I think the Apostle Paul, you know, God made the Roman road possible right before Jesus came so that the gospel could spread really quickly at the time of the early church. I think the Apostle Paul would drool over the opportunity that technology gives us, right? But at the same time, there are nuances to this dynamic. In generations past, the primary way that we would influence others for Christ was only in our local context. And in our local context, we could, there was expression for integrity, and there was expression to see the fruit of someone's life over time. Today, with a phone and Wi-Fi connection, any of us can stream to the nations from our bedroom. And that's an amazing opportunity for the gospel, but it's also very nuanced and something that is worth pausing and considering carefully. We live in a distinctly unique cultural moment, and I do feel so impressed to encourage us to make sure our hearts are being shaped by what Scripture says is the way to influence, make a difference for Christ, and not what social media culture tries to communicate to us. I think this cultural moment's felt by all generations, but for sure the younger generation. An interesting statistic says that 30 to 57% of people ages 28 and younger say that they want to be an online influencer as their career. It's the highest amount, you know, what's the thing that most people want to be? It's not a doctor or a lawyer or a teacher anymore. It's an online influencer. For the first time in history, a generation's primary aspiration is visibility, not vocation. And influence is being measured by followers, not faithfulness. I think it's an important cultural moment to address when we talk about how do we make an influence for Christ. This is for sure the impact of a generation being raised on screens. I'm a millennial, an elder millennial at that. And so MySpace came out when I was in middle school. AOL IM came out when I was in high school. And Facebook came out our freshman year of college. And then Instagram many years later, and YouTube many years later. This current generation, Gen Alpha, Gen Z, in many ways has been raised and discipled by YouTube and TikTok influencers. And it's changing the way that we perceive how to influence and how to make a difference in the world. So the question of what does true kingdom influence look like is important to consider in Scripture. And so before we dive into a couple thoughts that I have this morning, I just want to compare and contrast what the values of social media influence say versus what Scripture says. Can we just take a look at a couple bullet points here? So social media influence says that more visibility equals more influence. Social media culture says that if we're not seen, we're not valuable. Social media says that if you didn't post it, if no one saw it, it didn't happen. Social media culture tells us that more followers equal more influence. If you want to have a lot of influence, you got to have a lot of followers. Social media influence tells us that if someone has a large brand or platform, then they're automatically credible and trustworthy. Well, if they've got that many followers, if their platform's that big, then I can trust their voice. Social media influence tells us that online influence is great, has greater potential than local influence. And that individual autonomy is greater than community accountability and impact. Okay, what does the kingdom of God say? What are the values of kingdom influence? They're upside down. Next week, we're talking about the upside down king. The king in the kingdom that we follow is upside down. The kingdom of God says that more visibility equals less reward. Do your good deeds in secret, right? The kingdom of God says, do your good deeds in secret, work hard and not be seen. Good things are done in secret, have greater reward. The kingdom says invest in a few people for the greatest impact. Jesus invested most of his time and energy in the 12. He spoke to the crowds, but the world was changed by his small group. We'll talk about that more. Kingdom of God says when you're faithful in a little, you're entrusted with much, that credibility comes from faithfulness, not because you were able to build a following. In due time, God exalts the humble, faithful and little, entrusted with much, right? Another value we'll talk about here in a minute is this withness is the greatest influence. Jesus chose to be with the 12. This idea of proximity and being in person, in the flesh with people. And then lastly, that our greatest influence is when every part of the body is doing its part in unity. We can accomplish more. We can have a bigger impact, not individually, but together. Amen. Can we open up in prayer and then dive in? Heavenly Father, we love you so much. And God, we recognize that your ways are not our ways, and your thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and your kingdom is an upside down kingdom. And so, Lord, we want to make an impact for your kingdom. We want to make an impact for Christ in our generation. And God, we want to do it your way. Help us discern how our ideas of influence have been impacted by culture. And Lord, help us make sure that we're seeing the opportunity to make a difference for Christ through the lens of Scripture and Jesus through your example. God, we thank you that you move in a special way this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So I've got six thoughts this morning, six principles of kingdom influence that we see modeled through Jesus' life in the early church. The first thought is simply this. Number one, be with a small group of people. This is upside down from social media culture. What do you mean if I can reach billions on social media, why would I invest my time and energy in a small group? Because that's what Jesus did. That's the way of the kingdom. Mark 3:14 says, and he, Jesus, appointed 12, the 12 disciples. Why? That he, Jesus, might be, say it with me, that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach. Eric and I have been preaching this scripture for many years. It's so profound. Jesus chose the 12 first and foremost for relationship. That they would be with him, that they would be in his proximity. And then secondarily to that, he gathered them to send them out and to preach the good news. So God prioritizes proximity. It's a Christmas season and we celebrate Emmanuel, which means God, say it with me, with us. God values a with us-ness. He changed the world through 12 disciples. When I think of my own life and who has impacted my life personally the most for the kingdom of God, it's people that I have been physically with. It's people that I have been in a small group with. It's pastors or mentors that have been with me, that I've done extended seasons of life in their presence, under their teaching, in small groups, in one-on-one gatherings with friends that have sharpened me. It's been people that have my phone number and know my kids' names. People that I have been with has impacted my life personally the most for the kingdom of God. How about you guys? I gain a lot of little nuggets from voices online, but my life has not been transformed by the kingdom from people that don't know my name. There's power with being with people, right? Jesus had this principle that it's good for us to consider for our own life. Would Jesus have a social media account if he was live today? Yes, probably, because that is the hill of modern day life, right? He preached to the multitudes. He preached to the thousands. But the time that he spent with the crowd compared to the time he spent with the 12, huge difference. Because when he was crucified, the crowd left. It was the 12 that carried the gospels to the ends of the earth, and he knew that. And so Jesus invested a little bit of time into the crowd, a little bit more time with general disciples, like the 120 that met in the upper room, but he invested most of his time with the 12 disciples and even more time with the three, Peter, James, and John, who got experiences with Jesus that even the broader 12 didn't get. And some would argue that he even had a one, John, that was closest to his heart. So it's a good reflection question for us. If we want to make a big impact for Christ, who's our small group? Who's the small group that we are with that they're sharpening us and we're sharpening them? A good question is to ask yourself, who are your 12, your three, and your one? Who are your 12, your three, and your one? For sure, for those of us that are parents, our kids are in that tribe. They're the most potent disciples that we're making. Grandkids. who outside of your family, blood step, in-law, relatives, who are you intentionally discipling? Which goes to our next thought. How do we make an impact for Christ? We're with people in the flesh. And number two, we're intentionally making disciples, right? We're intentionally making disciples. Matthew 28, 16 through 20, we just read it. Therefore, go and make disciples. It's the main verb that Jesus left us with. Are we doing the main verb that Jesus left us with? Are we making disciples? What does that mean to make disciples? To help others either know Jesus for the first time or help them grow in their knowledge and their ability to live for him. So a good reflection question this morning is, who are the disciples that you are making, that I'm making? Can you just pause for a minute and list off some people? Who's discipling you? Who are you allowing to speak into your life and sharpen your life? And who are you helping grow in their faith through relationship? Who's close in your life that you're helping them grow in their faith, that you're discipling them? And man, a shout out to the Alive Kids and Youth team. Last Sunday, if you noticed, I snuck out during the message. I wasn't sick and I wasn't mad. I was touring the Alive Kids classrooms. And I texted Angie and Christina after service, and I was like, wow, we have an amazing kids ministry. You guys are doing an incredible job in every single environment. The word is elevated. Worship is passionate. These kids are getting discipled in age-appropriate discipleship for their age. So if you're serving in kids or youth, those kids are part of your 12. You're showing up every Sunday, every other Sunday, maybe serving once a month, and you are making little disciples that are going to grow up to be big disciples and raise their own families and all of that. It's making a tremendous difference. Those of you that are leading crews, our small groups here are actively involved in crews. Your crew would be people that you're helping disciple, and they're helping disciple you. All right, here's another thought. Number three, how do we make an impact? How do we do what Jesus told us to do to go and make disciples? Number three, use your gifts within the local church. We've been talking about it all month long. The church is God's idea, and the church, the local church, is the primary vehicle that Jesus is using to disciple the world. I was just talking to Andy Luzad, who oversees Operation Christmas Child locally, and he was saying the only way that we're able to get these boxes all across the world is because of the local church. Our connection point in every country is local churches. Because it is the hope of the world, and it is the primary way that Jesus is reaching the world is through the local church that he set up. And so if we want to make an impact for Christ, it's going to, a big part of it is going to be through what we all do together. But with individualism and social media and Christian influencer stuff, sometimes we can think, oh, I could make a bigger impact apart from the church. And yes, God might cause you to have some kind of overflow ministry in addition to being planted in the house of the Lord, but it will spring from first being planted in the house of the Lord. All of us working together like the body to use all of our gifts to make a difference, to lead worship to help disciple people and greet at the door to help disciple people and do media tech to help disciple people. When we all come together, we can make a really significant impact as we use our gifts together in the local church that Jesus is building. So if we're wanting to make an impact for Christ, our first next biblical step is to be planted in the house of the Lord and using our gifts to help disciple people. Amen. Because when we use our gifts in the local church as the way that God set it up to reach the world, to disciple the world, our gift makes a way for us. And maybe as you're planted and as you're serving in the house of the Lord, all of a sudden there's this overflow ministry that is in addition to an overflow of being planted in the house of the Lord. I want to give just a couple examples. We've got so many great examples here of people that have faithfully served and planted and have overflow ministries. I just mentioned Andy's name. I want to mention again, the Luzads have been here for over 7 years, planted faithfully, serving and leading crews and all the different things for many years. And a couple years ago, We needed someone to help go drop off the Operation Christmas Child boxes. And so they volunteered to do that. And when they did that, they realized, oh my gosh, this is an amazing ministry that we could be a part of. And so now, in addition to being deeply planted here and serving and leading crews, they also have this overflow ministry where he's now the regional director of Operation Christmas Child and doing both. I didn't tell them this, but the Whiteners would be that. There's so many people. If I don't say your name, don't get offended. I'm just using a couple examples. Whiteners have been here for over 7 years as well, deeply planted in the house of the Lord, serving and teaching and all the different things. A couple years ago, they had it on their heart to go get Bible schooling. And they came back, and Angie's on staff, and Dave now, in addition to serving and being planted and leading crews and serving and all this stuff, now has an overflow ministry where he's leading Bible studies through crews here at Alive, but also Bible studies online to other people, and it's beautiful. But it started with being deeply planted first. And then this overflow. Social media teaches the next generation that they can have a bigger influence for Christ by trying to bypass being planted in the house of the Lord. And really, it really is a lie that distracts and dilutes and divides the church. You can't bypass faithfully planting in the house of the Lord. You plant yourself in the house of the Lord. And as God wills, your gifts make a way and there's an overflow. Can we see what Scripture says about this? 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 through 18 says, "For as the body or the church is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For in fact, the body or the church is not one member, but many. If the foot says, 'Because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear says, 'Because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? And if the whole were hearing, where would the smelling be? But God has set the members, each of us in the body, each one of us in the body, just as he so pleases." Ephesians 4:11 through 12, Eric mentioned this scripture a couple Sundays ago, and he himself, Jesus, gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Why? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body. Goes on to say, speaking the truth in love, so that the church can grow up in all things unto him who is the head of the church, Christ. From whom the whole body, all of us, are joined and knit together. How? By what every joint supplies. According to the effective working by which every part does its share, all of us, bringing our gifts and helping make disciples as we all work together, it causes growth of the body or the church and the edifying or strengthening of itself in love. Amen. A couple more thoughts. Number four, how do we make an impact for Christ? We embrace seed time influence. We live in a generation that wants microwave influence. Oh, I'll just make an Instagram account for that. Oh, I'll just make a podcast, or I'll just make a YouTube page. And I'll have influence real quick. I'll do hashtags and it's not how it works in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is embracing legacy that takes a lifetime to build. Kingdom influence is embracing, investing in the seed that you will not see the fruit for years to come. Church, we need to not get deceived by opportunities that look like you can make a really big impact for the kingdom without passing the faithfulness test, without having to sacrifice anything, and without serving. The only way that we can make an impact for Christ, it will always involve faithfulness, sacrifice, and serving. And all the church said, amen. Because kingdom influence is the long game. For those of you serving in Alive Kids, you're preaching the gospel to these babies and these preschoolers and these elementary kids. You start to see the fruit a little bit in the classroom when they sing along to the worship songs and they tell you that they love Jesus. But you don't really see the full impact of those seeds you're sowing until decades later, or you might not even see it. When we sow the word, when we sow prayer, when we give resources, a lot of times we don't see the fruit, but we have faith in the seed. I love what 1 Corinthians 3:5-10 says. It says, "Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, but Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers, and you're God's field, you're God's building, according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder. I've laid the foundation, but another one builds on it. For let each one take heed to how he builds on it. Isn't that so good? All right, two more thoughts. This next one, number five, how about, we've been talking a lot about how to impact and influence others. Can we talk about discerning, number five, discerning the voices that we're allowing to influence our life? Church, I think we want to be wise, discerning on what voices we're allowing to disciple us. There's so many podcasts and social media accounts and YouTube accounts and TikTok and all the different things out there where we have to be careful of what accounts we follow, what accounts we allow to influence our worldview, what accounts allow shape us, how we think about Jesus in our life and all the things, right? Not only voices out there, but locally too. Scripture tells us that we can know a tree by its fruit. And that we should be discerning that even if some appear nice or good intentioned, that really we would know the fruit of if someone's trustworthy to be discipled by their voice, by their fruit. Matthew 7, 15 through 20. Jesus said, "Be aware of false prophets who come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they're ravenous wolves." That's strong language. You will know them by their, say it with me, fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes? No. Or figs from thistles? The implied answer is no. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit. But bad trees bear bad fruit. A good tree can not bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruits cut down and thrown in the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. So Jesus is saying, be aware of false prophets, people who say that they're speaking on behalf of God, but they're not. And what tool does he give us to be aware of that? Watch for their fruit. What's the fruit of their life? That's some of the nuances of Christian influencers, is that someone can say that they're anything. Someone can say all kinds of words online, but you don't know the fruit of their life behind it. And so how practically, what practically do you look for when it comes to fruit? Anytime Eric and I are maybe interested in following a new voice online, or maybe a new ministry pops up locally, our first questions that we're always asking ourselves are, is that person planted in the local church? Is that person deeply planted, serving in a local church? What is that person saying about the local church? Do they speak well of churches or not well? If they're not planted and actively serving, if they're not speaking well of churches, that's a red flag for us to be influenced by their voice. We ask ourselves, does this person show a pattern of faithfulness, or are they bouncing around a lot? We'll know them by their fruit. Faithfulness is a fruit. Do their children love the Lord? Do they have longevity in friendships and ministries? All just good questions to ask ourselves before we're allowing ourselves to be influenced by a bunch of voices. Especially some of these younger generations. Sometimes I was talking to someone the other day, and she's like, yeah, this person like just became a believer. And then they're really social media savvy, so they built this huge platform, but they don't have a clue what they're talking about. And so we've got to recognize, okay, how long has this person been a believer? Are they deeply planted in the house of the Lord? Are they serving? Do they have a track record of fruit? Amen? Last one, number six. Prioritize local and authentic kingdom influence. I want to just share a little bit personally. You know, this is something that Eric and I are practicing in our own life. I've mentioned in a couple of different settings on my mini sabbatical, I've really enjoyed doing this really deep dive into scripture on God's view of women in scripture. It's really been a lifelong study, but I was able to really have a lot of energy towards it over the last 12 weeks, and I'm so excited for this message that I really, truly feel burdened by the Lord about. I really feel the significant grace to actually write a book about, like a Bible study book on this topic. And I feel so passionate to get this message to as many people as possible. And what we're talking about today, the temptation with social media culture would be, well, if I want to influence as many people as possible, then I need to bring this message online first and foremost. But what did we just learn? The biggest impact is within the local church. The biggest impact is withness of small groups. So I'm so excited. I'm passionate to get this message out to as many people as possible, but I know that the potency and the biggest impact that this message is going to have is here at Alive, with the ladies of Alive. And as God leads, yeah, I'll get it out beyond and maybe have other ways that I'm promoting it online. But I know in my heart, I could cry about it, the biggest impact is right here, locally, with people that know my name, that with people that I know their name and I know their kids' names right here. So church, I'm so excited that starting February of 26, we're launching our first like official women's ministry here at Alive called She Is Alive. And we're gonna meet once a month. We'll start this year just meeting once a month on the second Monday of every month from 6:30 to 8:30. And we're gonna just open up scripture deeply on this topic of how does God view women? And it's gonna be fun and feminine and a bunch of circle tables with taper candles and no kids running around and relaxing worship music. And you'll sit at the same circle table with the same ladies all year long. So you'll build these deep-knit connections and relationships in the context of diving in deeply to scripture. I'm so very excited about it. So mark your calendar. We'll be talking about it a lot more here locally. But practically, so excited to dive in deep here in the Word together. The other way that we can prioritize local and authentic kingdom influence is in our homes, right? Prioritizing the house of the Lord and the relationships and the opportunities to disciple here, but the people that are really going to carry the legacy of faith that we're trying to develop in our own life is our own offspring, our own blood, step, and in-law relatives. How are we prioritizing discipling our family, those closest to us, to make an impact for Christ? We're going to close here in song in just a minute, and the lyrics of the song are from Joshua 24:15 that says, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And as we sing, I just want to invite us all to ponder and consider, how can we make the biggest impact for Christ? There's a withness involved, proximity of who we're doing life with, an intentionality in who we're discipling, right? There's a connectedness to the local body and being planted and using our gifts in the local body. There's a perspective of seed time and harvest, right? There's a discerning of the fruit, and there's a prioritizing of the local and authentic. Jesus changed the world with 12. What would it look like if we sowed our life deeply into a few? Amen. So as we worship, as we reflect in this moment, how can you and your house serve the Lord? How can you be discipling your house? But also, how can your house be discipling others? How can we make it a priority in our life to make a kingdom impact? Church, would you stand with me? Let's worship and reflect together, and then I'll be back.